But anyway, we've got a little tape here of a dentist, a typical dentist routine. Jack was home in bed with a cold on our show, and we play it like this.
Come in.
Oh, fine. Hello,
Mr. Benny. I wasn't doing anything, so I thought I'd come over and see how you're getting along.
Well, that's very nice of you. Have a seat.
Thanks. How do you feel?
Not so hot. I'm dizzy. My eyes are bleary. I'm weak, and I ache all over.
Well, you're not a kid anymore.
Now, wait a minute. There's only one thing the matter with me, Dennis. I've got a cold.
A cold, he says.
What's the matter with you? Haven't you ever had a cold?
Oh, Jack, don't be such a crab. Dennis comes over to visit you and you jump all over him.
Yeah, if you're not nice to me, I won't give you the gift I brought for you.
The gift?
Uh-huh. Mother thought I should bring some flowers, and my father suggested candy, but I decided it might be better to give you something that you can get some use out of.
Well, I like fresh the gift. What'd you get me, Dennis?
Set of false teeth.
False teeth?
What's the way they grab your finger?
Get those things away from me. I've never used false teeth. I don't need false teeth, and I don't want.
Either. I guess I better take them back.
Certainly you'll take them back. In the first place, who brings people false teeth for a gift? In the second place, Dennis, when someone needs false teeth, they have to go to a dentist. An impression has to be made. Fittings have to be taken. Then you have to wait till the gums are set so the jaw won't be seen. Even then, you may have to go back three or four times if the palate is irritated or the bite overlaps.
Gee, for someone who doesn't wear them, you're sure an expert.
Look, if you just came here to aggravate me, you can go home now.
Next, we come to Rochester. Rochester was a highlight of most every Benny show. And whenever you heard that phone ring, and you heard the boy say, or Jack would answer the phone, and say, "Hello, Miss Benny, this is Rochester," you knew that somebody was in trouble, and it could be either one. Rochester, the person, was pretty much the Rochester that we played on the air. Eddie Anderson was his name. And he would get into things that would... Well, one thing in particular, we were down in Palm Springs. We did a lot of shows out of Palm Springs. And we had finished the script. I believe it was on a Thursday evening. We had finished writing, and we heard a bulletin on the radio that Eddie Rochester Anderson was lost at sea. So now we become worried because we knew he was going to go on a fishing trip. And an hour or two later, another bulletin came through that the Coast Guard had nothing further to report. And now it becomes a little more serious. And on through the rest of the night and the morning, more reports came in over the radio that nothing could be found. So this meant, of course, we now have to rewrite, take the spot out, and so forth. Feeling very badly. And yet somehow we had a feeling that being Rochester, it would work out. And sure enough, in about an hour comes another bulletin over the radio that he had been found, and they were now safe on shore. Now, we had the routine written, could have gone on the air with what we had, but we said, wait a minute, this thing has got national publicity, so we might as well cash in on it. This was Friday night. So we wrote a routine based on the fact that Roch had gone through this experience. And all I need to do is find that tape number 7, and we'll show you what we did with that routine based on fact.
Oh, Jack, I meant to ask you about Rochester. Is it true that he was lost for 2 days out on the ocean?
Yes, he was out in a boat near Catalina.
Yeah, I heard about it, Jack. I heard on the radio, too.
Yeah. Funny thing, I didn't know anything about it until it was all over.
You didn't?
No. When I found out about it last Wednesday, I was home taking my violin lesson. You know, I still have my music teacher, Professor LeBlanc. Anyway, here's what happened. Well, I guess I'll turn on the radio.
I'm the Whistler. I walk by night.
See, that Whistler scares me. I've got such a nice painting of his mother.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you nearsighted? When you're having breakfast, do you get too close to your hotcakes? Do you get molasses on your glasses? Do you suffer from middle-aged stress? Do your hips try to hurdle your girdle?
Drinking out there.
Oh, no,
boss, no, sir. But after the second day, we sure got hungry. And fortunately, a bird landed on the back of the boat.
A bird? Good.
So I picked up my rifle, took aim, and I...
Rifle? Rochester, you wouldn't shoot a poor little bird.
No, I just wanted to frighten her enough to lay an egg.
Did you frighten her?
Yeah, I actually laid two eggs for Sister Bacon.
Rochester, don't be ridiculous. A bird can't lay bacon.
Boy, when you've got a gun in your face, you'll find out you've got pounds you never knew you had.
Never mind that. Now tell me, how did you get back to shore?
Well, a coast guard finally followed us and towed us into the harbor.
Well, I'm glad it came out all right. It certainly was an unusual experience.
It sure was.
Rochester, what are you laughing at?
It's the first time I ever lost a weekend on water.
Well, anyway, Rochester, I'm glad you're safe, and hurry out here to Palm Springs.
I will. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I think there's another routine on there. Yeah, that follows that, which I think we'll... There's another routine with Roch, which pretty much typifies his thinking and trouble he can get into.
Thank you.
for 18 bottles of gin. Well, say something.
What a party!
You don't have to tell me, and that party almost ruined my house. What happened?
Well, Walter was kind of dull even though I invited a few friends over.
Uh-huh.
And so, got, well, to use the medical term, coagulated.
Well, that explains the rock in the wallpaper. What about the ceiling?
I have a feeling we're running on a little bit too long for you. I can go on for 12 days, but it's a matter of your time. This is kind of a conclusion that I want to be sure and get in, so I don't want to go too long. Do you think I should maybe get to that finish now, or should we fill in a little bit more? It's entirely up to you. Well, I'll put in a little more, and then we'll kind of head for what I think was a highlight of the whole those many years. The phone operators, we'll get them underway, and without talking too much about them, I'm sure you'll remember Gertrude Gearshift and Mabel Flapsaddle. Here's a sample of the phone operators.
Phone Mabel, what is it, thanks to? Mr. Benny's line is blinking. Yeah, I wonder what Boomer Bill wants now. I'll find out. Hello, Mr. Benny. Chuck, Dennis say, what's your number? Okay, I'll call you back when I get it. Say, Mabel, did you hear Mr. Benny's program last week? Yeah, Rainbow Lane was on it. God, she's wonderful, even if she is the Lord's weekend. Listen, Mabel, if you think Melinda is the Lord's weekend, you should have a date with Benny. Those are my sentiments exactly. You know, Mabel, 2 weeks ago he asked me to go to the Academy Awards ceremony, but I had another day. He said, how come Mr. Benny always asks you to all those plenty of tears? Well, why shouldn't he? After all, my mother gave him the best years of her life.
Girl into his car, drives her out to a dark spot, pretends he's out of gear, stops the car, and then spends the next 2 hours talking about his six-tips. It's enough to discourage a person, believe me. I'll say. You know, Mabel, I got a confession to make. Once I let Mr. Benny kiss me. Why, Gertrude Gearshift. Say, tell me, Gertrude, what are your kisses like? Well, it's like when you're blowing bubble gum and the bubble collapses against your collar. So the thing me, I'd rather have the gum. Yes. Send a strange number, doesn't it? I'd better tell Blue Eyes about it.
Hello? Oh, we'll try him again later, Gertrude. Goodbye. Oh, say, Gertrude, what are you doing tonight? Tomorrow night? Tuesday night? Wednesday night? Thursday night? Christmas Eve? Oh, you're going to visit your mother. Well, don't be surprised when you walk in.
All right. We got a little of the tout here. And Frank Nelson. I think maybe we can run that. Well, let's see how it starts.
Say, Mary, before I get my ticket validated, I want to go over to the fruit stand and buy some fruit. Watch my luggage.
This is at...
Okay.
Oh, you bud. Long time no...
At an airport. Played like the railroad station.
That.
You remember that racetrack town always drives me nuts. I won't be long there.
Flight number 19 now loading at gate 5 for Anaheim, Azusa, into Chumunga. Attention, passengers getting off at Goose Chumunga. Watch your step. We do not stop there.
That was the tout at an airport, which was played the same way as we used to play the railroad stations. And we used to bump into them just any place, department stores or wherever Jack had a decision to make. The tout was always there. Now we have him at a racetrack where a tout really belongs. So let's see what happens there.
Waiter! Waiter! suggest?
Another waiter. I can't stand you.
I don't care whether you can or not. Now, what can we get in a hurry?
Well, we have roast pork, corned beef, leg of lamb, sirloin tips, and bacon and eggs.
Bacon and eggs. Sounds good. Are the eggs fresh? How about you, Mary? Would you like bacon and eggs? just bring us our orders, waiter, as quickly as you can.
Yes, and I'll seat you at table number one. That's right over there.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you all know, the last race was a photo finish, but you won't know the results till tomorrow.
That's strange.
The picture turned out so good that we decided to show it at your neighborhood theater.
Now, Mary, let's look over the list of entries for the next race. I want to see you.
Bud. Bud.
Huh?
Come here, Bud.
Me?
Yeah.
What is it?
You gonna eat here?
Yeah.
What table?
Table one.
Uh-oh.
What?
Table number nine.
Well, look, I'm very happy with table one.
Take it over, Bud. Number one is a card table.
A card table?
Yeah. If it carries too much weight, its legs will fall.
Gee, I never thought of that. So you think I ought to take table number nine?
Well, certainly. Look at the breeding.
The breeding?
It's by Bonsai Maple out of Grand Rapids.
Gosh, I didn't think they even knew each other.
Get wise, Bud. Think it over.
Look, wait a minute. This is the first time I've run into you at a racetrack. Why don't you give me a tip on a horse?
Who knows about horses?
What?
Come on, sucker.
Mary, have you figured out yet what
you're making an edge already? I put them on table number one.
Number one? Do you think I'm a sucker? We'll eat at table number nine.
Table nine? The shiny mahogany one?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but you can't eat at that table.
Why not?
It was scratch.
Why, you had to be our waiter. You make me sick.
Well, you're not penicillin to me either.
Come on, Mary. We'll eat at the counter.
You know, working for Jack, as I mentioned earlier, was such a tremendously satisfying experience. And I remember, it didn't take too long for me at the very beginning even to feel comfortable with him. And I recall during that first year we were at NBC. After a Saturday rehearsal, we were cutting a script. We were two or three minutes over, and we were trying to get it down to size, strengthen a little bit here and there by putting in a new joke if needed, so forth. And we came to about page four, I think, and Jack's looking at his script, and he says, "Fellas, in here, I want to take this joke out, and I want something a little bit stronger." And from myself and Sam, my partner, and Milt and Tack, silence. He said, "I want something that kind of pays off real good." From us, silence. He says, "I want something that really is really worth this big build-up. There's a long silence. And I leaned over to him and I said, Jack, we'll get you another joke. And he says, oh, you agree with me, huh? I said, no, but it's possible that the four of us could be wrong. Now, he let out a roar, a laugh. He slid right off the chair, and he sat there on the floor laughing. And he got up, and he says, fellas, I wouldn't change that joke now for $1 million. And he didn't. And again, it went on the air, got a big laugh, and we're all up in the booth, and he looks up at us. So that you, what are you saying? But that's the kind of a man he was, very considerate. In 1945, Sam Perrin, again, my partner, myself, we had an opportunity to do a Broadway show in New York. So we took the summer, and we rushed east, and spent 8 or 10 weeks doing the book for a musical comedy. And then in the fall, it opened in October of 45, or rather November of 45, and fortunately ran for about, 18 months. But shortly after it opened, why, Jack insisted on doing a plug for the show. So we said, fine. And this is the way it was worked into the script. Jack was always, not always, but played to the age of 39. Whenever he was asked, how old are you? He was 39. We never planned anything on the Benny Show. We never said, this is what we want to do, and then we will continue to do it. Everything was accidental. The age routine started. My partner and I were working on that phase of the script, and we had a magazine writer come in, played by Mel Blanc, to interview him, I believe it was, and when he got to the end, how old are you, Jack said, 36. And we did a routine on being 36 and worked it throughout the show and so forth. And then many times that year, we referred to being 36. Next year, we always had a birthday party on February 14th or the Sunday close to that date, because that was Jack's birthday. And then he became 37, ran that for a year. He became 38, ran that. 39, all in order. We ran that for a year. Now, the next year, time to be 40. And Jack says, wait a minute. And he says, we can't do it. He says, there's something about 40 that isn't funny. It's just at that point, he says, we're going to stay 39. And we did. For the rest of his life, he remained 39 years of age. So you never know where ideas are going to come from. And on an occasion, we were doing a rehearsal at the studio, dress rehearsal, I believe it was. It's going to be on the air in about an hour after that. And I'm sitting with a friend of mine I hadn't seen in a long while, back in the audience so we could talk, and he's telling me about his sister who had a new apartment, and she had it all redecorated and was very modern. And he continued on. He says, it's got the modern this, and it's got very modern this. Well, of course, I knew what he meant. He went modern. But we carried on a conversation, and then at a point, he had to leave, so we said goodbye. And about this time, Jack and Mel were up on stage rehearsing a scene where Mel was a clerk in a bakery shop. And Jack was walking down the street. He says, gee, it smells so good. I think I'll go in and buy something. He goes in, and Mel says, Dad, what can I do for you, et cetera, et cetera. Jack says, I want whatever, a whole routine we did. So they finished rehearsing, and I went up to stage, and I said, Jack, I got an idea. You know where Mel says we've got so-and-so, 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 and cinnamon rolls? He says, yeah. I said, let's change that and have him say Cimarron rolls. He says, yeah, that's kind of funny. What can we do with that? I said, well, we'll work on it. He says, okay, see what you can do. So I went back, started fooling around with it, changed the whole routine, started out with one joke, I think, that was in there, or something about lady fingers, I had to get rid of them, they cracked their knuckles a lot, or whatever. So we did what I call the Cimarron roll routine, but we did it for one show. Supposedly, we felt we would try it on the one show and hope that it played, and that's the end of it. But it wasn't. Where have we got the... Did I give you the Cimarron rolls? Here we are. Now remember this.
Well, I don't know. Everything looks so good. What do you recommend?
Well, we got pies, cakes, donuts, brownies, and Cimarron rolls.
What?
Cimarron rolls.
Don't you mean cinnamon?
That's what I said, Cimarron rolls.
Got any lady fingers?
I used to have, but I had to get rid of them. They kept cracking their knuckles.
But don't be so smart. I came in here to buy something. Now, let's see. Why, no, I'll have a half a dozen donuts, that chocolate cake, and I think I'll have some of those Cimarron rolls.
What?
I said I'll...
Thank you. you mean cinnamon roll?
Now, it played so well that a week later we're doing another scene, and I think it was either Easter Parade or we were doing a sketch, and Jack had sent up for room service. Let's see which one it was. Yeah, sent for room service.
Yes, I want some breakfast. Or juice, coffee, and let's see, what can I have with the coffee?
Well, we have sauce, English muffins, donuts, and cinnamon rolls.
Well, this was the next week.
Look, waiter, bring me some more juice, coffee, and a cinnamon roll.
Okay, and you're lucky. Yesterday, I couldn't have brought you any cinnamon rolls.
Why not?
We were out of cinnamon.
All right, now the following week, we're in Easter Parade, walking down Wilshire Boulevard.
You know, it seems like...
Oh, Mr. Burney, happy Easter. Oh, happy Easter, Mr. Don't you remember me? I'm the clerk to play it on you, especially now.
All right, now, that's 3 weeks. The following week, we were at Jack's house, supposedly, in our premise, rehearsing the show at home. And we played again on the...
Rochester, give everybody coffee.
Little snack while they're rehearsing.
Silly guy
from the paper. The fellow insists upon saying Cimarron Road. Well, here you are, kid. You can have some of these with your coffee. They're nice and fresh.
Wait a minute, Jack. He's right.
What do you mean he's right?
Well, look at that label on this paper box. These are genuine Cimarron rolls, named after J.C. Cimarron, founder of the Cimarron Baking Company.
What?
These Cimarron rolls should not be confused with ordinary cinnamon rolls, which are made from entirely different ingredients.
Silly guy had that label printed himself just because he can't say cinema. He must be crazy.
Well, Walter, what will find out?
How?
As you will be told, we'll be over there.
All right, now that line, he must be crazy. Well, one way to find out, ask him if he showers with a peeled potato. That in itself, even though I've heard a few laughs there, really makes no sense at all. It's just a crazy, wild line that in this context does not even fit. But it did fit in that show, and I'll show you why. Hit the wrong button again. Now, this is that same show up at the opening. Pause for just a moment. That turned into a running gag, which, if you remember, that was our trademark. But we never planned. We could never say, let's put in such and such a joke, and then on page 7 we'll do it again, we'll do it again on 14, and we'll pay off the show with it. You can't do that. We had, in that particular... Yeah, I was doing that spot. I had that one joke. Got to that joke. Congratulations, you're the first man to shower with a peeled potato. That's all we had. But out of that came a continuation. Oh, hit the wrong button. We're way ahead of it now. Let's back it up a bit.
I've got a wonderful feeling.
Anyway, that's a sample of how a running gag gets started. And here's another very simple bit of comedy. I was driving to work one morning, and I hear a very beautiful song on the radio. How are things in Glacamora? And we were doing a railroad station that week, and because the lyrics was all questions, it struck me that this could be funny if used in a certain way and without changing a word, just in the right setting. So just that part I'll play for you.
I wonder what ticket window I could go to.
I beg your pardon, mister, but are you validating ticket?
Oh, what do you think I'm doing with this rubber staff? Voting for Hoover?
Now, look, mister, I'm going to report you to the station master and see.
Pardon me just a moment. I'm in a hurry. Do you mind if I go first?
No, it's quite all
right. And what can I do for you, sir? Well, I'd like to know something. I just heard the train announcer say that the train on track 8 now goes to Glendale, Barstow, and Glacamora.
That's right. Now, what is it you want to know?
How are things in Glacamora?
Is that little brook still leaking? Yes, it is. Does it still run down to Donny Cove from Killybegs to Perry? Yes, it does. Is that willow tree still wishing me? Does that lassie with the twinkling eye come smiling by? Or does she walk away sad and dream there, not see me there? Yes, it does. Good. Give me a ticket to West Los Angeles.
Here's your ticket and have a pleasant trip.
Thanks. To him, he's got to be nice.
Then we might as well follow it up. We found another song later.
Your passengers who just arrived on the train from Catalina, please get in your taxis or dripping all over.
Here's the ticket window. Oh, pardon me. Are you the ticket clerk here?
Yes. I used to be at Pasadena, but they moved me on account of the freeway.
That's very funny.
Thank you.
Attention. stole that joke from me.
Now, look, clerk. Now, let's not have any trouble here. I want a ticket to New York.
Return trip?
No, one way.
Good.
I'm coming back by plane.
So just do what I do.
Please, sir, will we not go ahead and you? I'm in a hurry.
Well, yes, I guess.
Well, you see, I'm just going on my vacation for 3 weeks, and I don't want to waste a minute.
Clerk, will you give me a ticket?
Yes, sir. Where to?
Oh,
I don't care. Any place is all right with me.
Well, the next train out is going to Nashville, Tennessee.
No, no, not there. I don't want to go back to that state again.
Why not? What happened then?
Well, I'll tell you. I was dancing with my darling in the Tennessee.
And you introduced him to your love?
Yes.
And while they were walking, my friend stole my sweetheart from me. Well, why don't you try to forget it? Forget? I remember the night of the Tennessee walk. Now I know just how much I was.
Look, mister.
What did you do? Well, I lost my little darling in that great way in a beautiful city.
Well, what are you crying for? You're number one on the hit list.
I was going to keep out of it.
I'm sorry.
Well, look, how about a ticket to bed? Oh, yes, that'll be quiet. Oh, you'll enjoy it there. It is very close to Lake Louise.
Oh, no, no. I can't go there.
Why not? Louise was the name of my little darling. Oh, the one I was dancing with to the Tennessee Wall for an old friend I have. Look, what a chorus!
Now, clerk, give me my ticket, will you?
Now, later, maybe a year later, we came up.
I want to get my ticket changed to a phone. Let me see, where's the ticket window? Oh, here's a window that isn't busy here. Oh, mister! Mister!
Are you the ticket agent? If I'm not, I made $2,000 today.
Change the ticket.
Oh, did you get it for Christmas?
Oh, I didn't get it for Christmas. Just that this ticket is for the coast, and I'd like to ride it home. Now, look, my plane leaves in a few minutes, so will you please?
Pardon me, but would you mind if we went on ahead of you?
Huh?
We just got married, and we're very anxious to get away. Ain't we, honey?
Be better, Derek.
Everybody refuses.
Oh, dear, we're leaving for our honeymoon.
I don't know if we did any more songs after that or not, but we managed to get a couple of years.